Victoria and the Nightingale by Susan Barry. Chapter 1. It was very dark on the broad, straight stretch of road on which the accident had occurred. It was dark because, as yet, there was no moon, and as well as tall hedges, there were towering trees, shutting out the fields of shimmering grain and the patches of dense woodland receding into the dim distance on either side of the road. Victoria prayed for the moon to rise and wished she could do something about Johnny's shivering so very close to her side. She could actually hear the uncontrollable chattering of his teeth. The little girl, who had remained absolutely tongue-tied throughout all the turmoil and the nightmare, and whose name she did not as yet know, kept such a tight hold of her hand that the small fingers had induced a feeling of numbness in her own. And try as she would, she couldn't release them. She wanted to encircle the child with her arm, but that wasn't possible, unless her hand was freed. She spoke soothingly to both children, and in between trying to reassure them about the darkness, the silence, the continued absence of the police constable who had gone to hunt for a phone booth and was trying to provide them with some means of transport, made wild and desperate promises.
"It won't be long now," she said over and over again. "The policeman will be back any minute now, and there'll be a car to take us away from here. You'll soon be cosily tucked up in bed, both of you, with glasses of nice hot milk."
She recollected that when she was young, she had disliked hot milk, but perhaps these two pathetic creatures had a weakness for it, and in any case, she didn't really believe what she was saying. For first of all, beds had to be found for the children, and that would mean further delays, police inquiries, possibly some sort of door-to-door search for people who would take them in. There might be a hotel open that would receive them, and she herself could put up anywhere, even the local police station if there was nowhere else. But the children must have proper attention, and that as promptly as possible. And more than anything else, they required an understanding person to take charge of them, and cope with the shock that had numbed them temporarily. She could make herself responsible for Johnny. She had enough money to pay for hotel accommodation for both of them. But he was badly shocked, stunned. He needed hospital treatment, and the unknown little girl who was making dents in the palm of her hand with her sharp nails needed careful handling also. It was undoubtedly a case for a psychiatrist when these two small humans were capable of assimilating the fact that an accident had deprived them of their nearest and dearest. In Johnny's case, at any rate, that was so. The little girl's parents had been badly hurt, but it was just possible they would live, or one of them might survive. Victoria felt as if the nightmare returned as she pressed back against the hedge, and a wave of horror and nausea welled up over her. The children pressed closer to her. They were terrified of the road, the straight stretch of road on which terrifying scenes had taken shape before their eyes. And why they hadn't all been killed outright, Victoria couldn't think. The pile-up of cars had been horrible. Johnny's father's, a neat convertible for which he was still paying, and behind the buckled wheel of which he had been pinned while she and Johnny had been flung clear. The car belonging to the parents of the little girl with fair hair, who had lost the power of speech, had rolled over and over before it had made a violent noise, like an explosion, and only the little girl had been miraculously unhurt on the back seat. Johnny whispered,
"I'm cold."
Victoria hugged him.
"You'll soon be warm."
Again, she was making wild promises.
"There must be a town quite near."
The policeman's light came bobbing along the road, but his face looked anxious when he reached them. He answered Victoria's unspoken query immediately.
"We'll be picked up in about half an hour. There just isn't a car available at the moment. It must be a night for accidents."
He sank down on the grass verge beside her and explained.
"Another one over at High End, and Sergeant Buckley away on a course. It means that we've been caught off balance, as you might say, and we've all got to do double duty. But we will be picked up as soon as it can be managed. It's just a question of waiting."
He attempted to relieve.